please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Never better get checked. There ain't no difference when the king goes sick. Fuck around and get wet.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, life is strange at sometimes, to say the best. We are always trying to figure out where it is that we fit in. You know, what do we do and what steps we need to take in order to have our biggest impact on the world. And we want to make sure that we live our lives in a way that brings happiness not only to our own existence, but to the existence of others. And so we just go about trying to make sure we do the right thing, but we're constantly hearing over the airwaves about the craziness that's going on in our society. And then we have to wonder if our small steps are having any kind of impact when there are such bigger steps being taken by people around the world that are seemingly taking up the airwaves. And that's why Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is so important, because we want to make sure that our voices, those voices of common sense, those voices of the heartfelt common man, is being heard as often as everyone else's voice. And on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, our voice is heard daily, giving us the opportunity to have some of the airwaves and have people listening what it is what we're thinking. Because we're thinking, and those of us who are committed to Thoughts, Love, and Reflection want to know what is the steps that we can take to make the world better. We know there are some things that need to be worked on, but we are, as believers, believe that we have the opportunity and the ability to make a difference. All we have to do is make sure that we're willing to wake up every morning and do the right thing and take the right steps to impact the world around us as we see it. And therefore, if every day is used for something positive, then we've made a difference. How are you doing today, Kathy?
I'm doing good, Mr. Deshaies. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. I'm here this evening at the Wellsbuilt Museum at 511 South Street. We've been here all day because there have been two different events at the Amway Arena, and we had to be here all day. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to know that I have spent my day interacting with a number of different people and trying to put a good spin on life and looking forward to going in 2017 and making an impact not only in my life but in the lives of others. And that's what the purpose of life should be, is for us to make an impact. And we know that all that loud noise is out there about what's going on around us, and we have to sometimes close our ears to the noise and listen to our heart and ask ourselves, what is my heart saying? What is it that I should be doing so that I am true to my heart and true to my spirit? And so, you know, Kathy, what is your heart saying these days?
Well, my heart is saying that I need to do more. I need to be more involved in the community around me with the kids and just, you know, teaching them the way of this life, teaching them that regardless of what's going on around them, that there's still good people out there, that they can make it if they continue to stay focused and use wisdom, listen, and not be disruptive. I mean, just being a part of the kids' life and teaching them the right way to go, because there is so much negativity out there. You see on TV, you see in the schools, you know. So you have to be a part of these kids' lives. So that's what my heart is telling me, that my next steps will be working directly with kids. I don't know if it'll be in elementary or junior high, but it will be. That will be a part of my next journey.
Well, kids are truly the treasure that builds the future, and we just have to be in their lives 24/7 and make sure that we're telling them that they can make a difference in this world, and that how important their education is, how important it is to dream big and to make things happen. We have to tell them that, you know, you don't ever stop dreaming, because our dreams are the treasures that create our futures. And so it's just important for us to always have a dream in our head and make sure that we're taking the steps to make that dream come true. And kids need to know that, it's important to dream. It's important to make sure that you don't sell yourself short, and that you go to class every day competing. You know, we compete on the football field. We compete on the basketball court. You know, we compete on the baseball field, on the soccer field, but we have to learn how to compete in the classroom. And that's where the competition is real, and the competition will give you the tools that you need to make a difference in your life and in the lives of others. So we need to ask our kids as we go into 2017 that we want them to go in their classrooms and compete for the best grades, compete for the opportunity to learn as much as they possibly can, so that they exit those classrooms with the ability to make a difference in the world. And so we have to encourage competition in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. That competition part is very important, and even in the classroom, it's important, but most of all to let them know that to do their best, because you may not be the way that your the person on the side of that sits on the side of you, or the person that sits in the front of you, but be the best person that you are, whatever it is you have in your heart. You be the best that you can be. So we do have to teach them that they are individuals, and whatever they have inside of them is the great, is also as great as anyone else's greatness.
Yeah,
Since you're at the Wells Building today and you are interacting with people, do you have your HUGS shirt on today?
I do not, Kathy. And I have to tell you, the reason why I don't have my HUG shirt on today is because the HUG, the people did not have anything but a 3X. And I have to wait till I get rid of more of this weight so that I can look like the 3X really fits, because it is hugging me. So Okay. I purchased it anyway. I purchased it anyway, but it's not ready for me to wear it yet.
Okay.
So now what kind of results have you been getting from wearing yours?
Well, I haven't worn it yet. We're going to actually wear them on Christmas when we go out. We're going to go to the movie as a family, but we're going to go early so we can stand outside the theater, and we're going to give away hugs before we go inside of the theater.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
Please videotape that, Cassie. I would love to see the kind of response you all get from having those shirts on and being out in front of that movie theater. That is so...
Yes. That's exactly what we will be doing next week.
That is truly awesome. I think you all are so smart and so bright, and you are going to bless a lot of people by doing that. And I wish I could be there. I'd be too embarrassed to wear my hug shirt now, because like I said, it's hugging me. But it's going to be so nice to see the kind of response that you all get. And ultimately, we need to do all that we can to make free hugs go viral, because we really need that at this time. You know, we have to show a lot of love. I don't know if you remember, there was a incident during the highlight of the campaign where an older man, hit a young man, black male, with an elbow. And that finally went before a judge. And the judge gave the man a year of unsupervised probation. And the black gentleman who got hit was there, and the older man had to apologize. And they shook hands and they hugged. And the older gentleman said that, you know, he realized that he and the black gentleman were a part of a division in the country that needed to be healed, and that they needed to hug and take the steps necessary to bring the country back together. Now, I don't know if that was truly from his heart, because he said some truly ugly things. And I don't know if I could have been able to let my feelings go and to hug this man and shake his hand after he so violently struck this young man, and the young man was arrested. And it was several days or weeks before the older gentleman got arrested. But I just, you know, it does my heart good when there are people out there who are able to forgive and forget and still move forward. And that's what a lot of us need to do in spite of some of the ugliness that is happening around us.
I did see that on the news, and I think that was a great thing, not only for them to do that, but to show it on the news, because people need to see that. See, sometimes, you know, as people, we begin to follow a trend, and the trend is actually what gets us in trouble. We need to go back to that, being individuals, being able to think for ourselves, because I believe this man got hyped up in the midst of everything that was going on, so that's why he reacted the way that he reacted. And then in the end, because he didn't have to say, okay, I'm sorry, you know, he didn't have to hug the guy. He could have just said, okay, I'll do my time and that's it. That could have been the way that he acted, but he did not act that way. He went forth to give the guy a hug. I don't know how sincere he was, but to see that on TV said, you know, there is, change can happen. People can change. You know, people can change their minds about situations and things. So he probably saw it over and over again, and it was just something that was in his heart and in his mind as the time went by. You know, everybody was coming up and saying stuff to him. So, you know, when he got his time, then he decided that this is something that I need to do to make a change so that people can see that there can be change between a black and a white person. So that was good to see.
Well, you know, after I saw that on the show, I did think, you know, it was something positive, despite the fact that there were some negative things going on. And so we have to be prepared, even if we don't know for sure why people are doing it, we have to, on the face, be prepared to give people the opportunity for change, even if we don't know for sure that they truly are. And so what's best for society is us realizing that nobody's going to go anywhere. The country is going to continue to get browner and browner every year, and we're going to have to learn to live together in peace. We're going to have to learn to have equal understandings of what is best in the interest of all of us. You know, I would love to see the middle class grow and have compatibility about the kind of things that are mutual. Sometimes, I have to be honest with you, sometimes I think the middle class of white America sometimes votes against its own interests because they believe that it will further hurt the middle class of people in color. But we have to come together and go beyond color and get to the point where we vote and participate in life based on our common economic situation. That's what I'd like us to see. I'd like us to see stop thinking about color so much and start thinking about committing ourselves to our common goals in terms of our economic, our education, our health needs, and those kind of things. I think those were things would be better serve us if we kind of stepped away from the division of color and came together based on what is, as a human, what is in my best interest as a human.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. And what is my, my words not coming out right. But what I agree with you on that about the not looking at the color, but what the best needs for me as a believer as well. Because as a believer,
right,
you're in a whole nother part. You're in a whole nother group. It's not just blacks. It's not just white. It's not just Hispanics. It's not just the Moors. It's us together as one. So as one, we need to be in agreement regarding that, you know. Like you said, not looking at the color, because I can see some black people doing something, but I don't totally agree with what they're doing. I don't totally agree with how they're voting or what they're voting for. So I, as a person, have to say, hey, that I'm not going to vote with them. I'm not going to go with them. I'm not going to do what they're doing because I don't agree with that. But as a believer, if there's a group of people over here that believe the same as me, and we we have something on the ballot that needs to be voted on, we need to come together and say, hey, we don't think that's going to be a good thing for us as a community of believers. So we need to vote no, or we need to vote yes. So that's where I am. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, the same thing, not looking at the color, but standing for something that's going to help us in the long run.
Yeah, and that's what's so important, that we live and think beyond color and think about what's in my best interest as a human being. What will be in the best interest of the country as us as humans? See, I understand why people with large sums of money may think differently than me. I understand that. I mean, I've never had a large sum of money where money was never a question, or I was trying to save as much of it as I possibly could for the betterment of my family. I have not been in that position. But I am in a position as a middle class who has known what hard work is, and how do I increase my standing as a middle-class person in economics? And also what you said, how do I make the environment of life better for me as a believer? Those are two perspectives that we can cross racial lines, and we need to be prepared to do that. Instead of thinking so much in terms of race, we need to think in terms of things that can bring us together that we can have an equal understanding of that will give everyone a better existence.
Absolutely. And as you were talking about, you haven't had a whole lot of money to say that a whole lot of money that will allow you to do things that other people do that they are not even happy doing. So who's to say that even if you have a whole lot of money that you'll be happy? I would rather be where I am, happy, joyful, in love with God, in love with people at this particular time in my life than to be rich, money overflowing, and to be sad. That's not a good place. So where I am, I believe I am rich, overflowing rich with joy, with something that God has given me that I can share with other people. So I believe the richness of love that God has given me, the richness of joy, the richness of peace. Peace is something that you can't pay for, you know. So I feel today that I am rich. You are rich too. You may not have money, but you are rich in another way. And I would rather be rich in this way than to be rich the way the other people are, that because they are miserable, they're not happy, they don't have any peace. You know, we have peace. We can go lay down and say we truly have peace in our lives. And that's the best thing to have. And it is because of the Lord. The Lord is the one that gives peace. The Lord is the one that gives joy, joy that no one can take away from you.
And you're so right. Sometimes we're not thankful for that. I know that today my morning went by very, very fast, and I started my day here at the museum around 1 o'clock, and I probably won't be leaving the museum until well after 10 o'clock. But when you mentioned peace, it was so amazing when I thought about it, and I said, because time went by so peacefully. I wasn't trying to rush it. I wasn't worried about whether I was hungry. I wasn't worried about whether my lights were not going to be on. My cars are functioning. And so there are a lot of things that I can be happy about and about my life and my existence. And so we have to just be at peace where God gives us enough for us to survive and to be a blessing to others. You know, I think about the fact that I find myself in a position, and I want to share this with the people on the show, that I'm going to give away five gifts to those individuals who email me at djames82@aol.com and give me your names and addresses and the ages of your kids so that I can buy the appropriate gifts. I want to reach out to me on Facebook, James T. Deshay. Deshay is spelled D-E-S-H-A-Y. And so here I am as a single man who has a daughter who's 40 years old, and I'm in a position where I just, you know, I have no, I'm an only child, so I don't have any nieces and nephews of any type. And so I have the opportunity to bless five individuals who write me, and so that I can send them a gift, and so for their kids for Christmas. And so I just feel thankful for that and want to expand on that as time goes on, as my radio show goes on, and again, that I try to make a difference in the lives of the people around me or the people who hear within my voice. And I want to encourage people to be just active in their lives, active in their communities, active in their churches, and active in the world. We have to be a part of the existence that we live and not just let life pass us by We have to participate. And that's what I'm doing here at the Wellsville Museum. I'm participating. We're raising money for the museum by parking cars. We had two events today. We'll have another event tomorrow. And we just want to be, I want to be a part of something or organization, a part of my community that is making things happen. And I just feel proud and excited about going into 2017 with the opportunity to make a difference in the world.
Yes, I totally agree with you, James. And even as you were talking, I was just sitting here thinking about, you know, our organization and how we do when we do go out, and just the look on the kids' face when they receive the shoes. I mean, it's something that you can't explain to somebody. The person has to actually be there to see it. It's a joy that you receive on the inside that's unexplainable, to know that you are actually doing something to make a difference in somebody else's life. So when you say that you want to bless five people, whether it be adult or child, you want to be a blessing to them, that is beautiful. That is what God has placed us here to do. We're supposed to be a blessing to other people. We can't hold on to everything. If we hold on to everything, then the blessings will stop flowing on to us. So we have to open our hands to be a blessing to the people that are around us.
And we have to make it so much a part of our lives that we do it without reservation. I know that I was encouraged by you and some of the things that you shared with me, and I just want to continue to have that birth inside of me to the point it becomes something that people don't have to remind me to do, that I do it on my own. And so it is just I want it to be an obligation of my spirit. I want it to be such a part of who I am, again, that I do it without question, do it without any hesitation. And I just want to be a model for other people to follow. And so it's just a blessing to me that you are a part of my life to help me understand the value and importance of that, and that we keep ourselves encouraged. Well, we're going to take a short break. We're halfway through the show, and we're going to come back and finish the show, and we're going to take a short break right now.
Hell, I went wrong. You busted in the sun.
Deshae, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I am having the show here at the Wellsville Museum, 511 West South Street, and we want you, or those of you who visit the Orlando area and those of you who live in Orlando, to make the Wellsville Museum a part of your regular schedule. This is an opportunity for you to come down to the museum and learn about the history of African Americans here in Orlando and around the country. And it is one of the treasures that exists in our city that was here before Disney. And Disney is a very important part of our community and our state, but there were some small treasures that exist here in Orlando that have been a part of our country and our community for a very long, long time. The Wellsville was built in 1926 by the Dr. Moreau Wells, and he was an outstanding physician, and we want you to come to the Wellsville Museum and learn a lot more about him and the kinds of things he did and the kinds of African-Americans or people of color did across the nation. So it's our opportunity to learn more about the people who made things happen when they weren't supposed to. And that is exactly the kind of man Dr. Moreau Wells was. We're going to continue our conversation about it, how important it is for us to be a positive force in our world, in our communities, in our cities, in our states, and in our country, and do not be depressed about the ugliness that is coming out of the media these days, that we have to look beyond what is being said by the media and create our own future with our own efforts, with our own discoveries, and with our own opportunities to cross the lines that other people say can't be crossed. And that's what we have to be willing to do. I want the kind of immigration programs that create opportunities for people to come to our country and change their lives. I don't have a problem with immigrants coming into the United States. I'm not afraid of any Muslims. I'm not afraid of Middle Easterners. I believe my God is strong enough, capable of keeping me safe when I'm showing love to all different kinds of people. What are your thoughts about that, Kathy?
Yeah, hey, James. First, I just wanted to expound a little bit on the museum because I also had the opportunity to visit there, and I was so excited about what that particular museum offered when I was in there, to see B.B. King was one of the performers there, to see all of those musicians that came through there, and during that particular time that they came through, the prices that they paid to stay there, the room that was there, the exhibit that you guys had regarding the basketball team. I mean, there was a lot of information inside of that small building. There was a lot of information, and I did not get to actually see everything and just, you know, go into detail about learning about everything there, but I had an awesome time when I was there. So as you were talking about it, I'm thinking about the different spots inside of the museum that I actually walked when I was there. So kudos to you guys for continuing that legacy and continuing to make things happen there, and that the people that are listening, if you haven't visited that museum, you need to go and visit it because it's something of our history, something that you can have and hold on to. Because as you were talking about it, I was thinking about it, and that's been, what, 4 or 5 years ago that I was there. I don't remember when, but it has been in between that time, maybe 3 years, maybe four, I'm not sure. But, yeah, there's some really good information in there. So thank you for talking about that, and I was able to give a couple of words on that. But as far as us as a people, there are so many things going on in and around the world. I have a Muslim friend, and we worked together for 15 years, and we became really close, so close to during Ramadan. He took me out on a ride, and during Ramadan, he stopped every 3 hours like they do, and he prayed. He said, Green, that's what he would call me. My name was Green. Then he said, Green, he said, I'm going to pray. You don't mind, right? I was like, no, Bob, but they call him Umar, but I always call him from the name that when we first met, which was Bob.
Uh-huh.
But you know, they changed their name to the Muslim name. And I was like, no. So he went, and I actually admire him because he did not, regardless of what was going on, he did not stop what it is that he knew to do, you know, just because we were together and we was on a job. But he stopped every 3 hours to pray. They had an event today. I was supposed to go, but I didn't go because I had something else to do. But we have to support one another. That's how we're going to keep the communities going. That's how we're going to keep everything positive and not allow the negative to creep in, because that's what it wants to do. It wants to divide us. It wants to make us fearful. It wants to make us scared where we stay inside of our house and don't go out and interact with one another. But we have to, as a person, we have to believe and know that, hey, we have to do these things, because if not, then we are going to be isolated from the world and from the things that God has for us. So I just wanted to share that.
And that's so important. You know, there's so much we can take from the faith and commitment and focus that other religions have. I have to tell you that I know that I'm a believer and I feel strongly about my belief in Christ, but I know I don't pray enough. I know I don't seek him and meditate enough. I know I don't read my scriptures as much as I should. And so those are the kinds of things that keep you under God's protection. And his umbrella is, the more time you spend with him, it creates an environment where your faith is stronger, your focus is stronger, and you're not as easily diverted or easily taken away from the mark. And so, you know, when Muslims are able to show that faith, it shows you the level of commitment very few Christian believers have, and we have to learn how to do that. I know I want to learn how to just wake up in the morning and give God the first 30 minutes to an hour of my day to help me. And I hear a lot of people who do that, who don't move away from that and who are committed to that. And that's one of the things I want to learn how to do for myself. So it's so important for us as Christians to learn how to be, develop behaviors that help us to keep our hand in the Lord's hand.
You're absolutely right. Within our church went on a 30-day fast in October, and during that fast, it was just so special. I'm going to say special, but it's another word I'm looking for, because when you begin to deny yourself the things of the world, then you begin to receive the things of the Lord. I heard a pastor say that if we would pray as much as we eat, we would be so in tune with what God is saying to us that we would be able to walk in doors that seem to be closed. We would be able to make relationship work that seem to be on the breakdown. We would be able to go in and ace a job interview that we thought we were not going to get. So what that's saying is that we have it wrong. We have it backwards. We need to begin to look to him more than to look to the food more. You know, so as like you were talking about, you want to start praying more. When you begin to say that, the Lord will begin to touch you at those times when he wants you to pray. Lately, we've been getting up at 3 o'clock praying. And I'm like, Lord, okay, there's a reason you have us, me and my husband, both to get up. We get up out of the bed. We go and we pray. We just begin to pray for 30, 35 minutes. We get right back in the bed and go to bed, go to sleep until it's time for us to get up and go to work. Now, when you begin to ask the Lord for these things, he's going to begin to tug you on the things. So just know that when it begins to happen, it's him, and it's not because you are just up, but it's because he wants to talk to you about some specifics that you have requested and asked him about.
And you know that when he talks to you, that's going to give you the strength to get through your day and to say no to things that you need to say no to. You know,
yeah.
In my situation, the things that I need to say more no to are things that aren't just good for my health. And I have to be ready and prepared to say, no, I'm not going to put that in my mouth. No, I don't have to eat that. No, I can do better. I can drink better. I can, you know. And so when you put your hand in God's hand and commit yourself to reading your scriptures and spending time meditating, it gives you the strength that you need to say no to the evil that is around you and to rise above the things that go on in the media, the things that go on around other people. You know, I have to say to you that one of the things I'm very strong in is that there was a time in my life when I used to use a lot of profanity. And then at some point, I stopped. And, you know, here now, when I catch myself using profanity, I know that's not me. That's not who I am. And when people direct profanity toward me, I normally, you know, I say, listen, that's not, I don't accept that. I can't have a conversation with you if that's the kind of conversation you're going to have, or that's the way you talk when you're angry or you're unhappy. You know, so there are kind of ways that there are things in your spirit that you get out of your spirit and that you know that they no longer are you. And when you slip back into them, you say, wait a minute, hold on. You know, why am I going backwards? And so we have to learn how to continue to move forward and continue to accept and put things into our lives that gives us the ability to be better individuals. You know, I can be a better human being, and I know that I have to do that by focusing on becoming committed to changing my life. You know, one of the things I hate hearing people say is, you know, you all have to accept me for who I am. Well, if you are not good, or if what you are and who you are and who you display is not in your best interest, then maybe you need to recognize that you need to make some changes. You know what I'm saying? And change can be a good thing, but you certainly can't suggest that the world needs to accept the ugliness that is in your spirit because that's just who you are. There's a problem with that.
And you're absolutely right, because when you're in the circle of people, and once you become, once you begin to change, then your circle begins to get smaller because either they're not going to like your change or either you're not going to be able to stay in that circle because you're going to start separating yourself because you're not going to want to do that anymore. You're not going to want to talk like that anymore. You're not going to be around that type of stuff anymore. But that means that, hey, your eyes have begun to open. You're elevating to another level. You decided that you wanted to do something different. And it's not that you don't love the people or, you know, you're still not connected to them, but there's a different type of connection that is going on with you. You're going to a whole nother level in your life. And we were just talking about this, about going to another level. Or do you want to stay where you are? No, I don't want to stay where I am. That's like being a bee. I don't want to stay at 12 forever. It's time for me to go to 13 and 14 and 15, you know. So it is. So it should be in your heart, in your mind, in everything that you do. You should want to go to another level. You should want to change who you are. You should want to stop cursing. You should want to stop drinking. You should want to do something better in your life. You should want to see a change. So I understand what you're saying about the cursing part, because certain places I go around, people know that, oh, Kathy doesn't do that anymore, so we can't say certain things, you know, or we can't do this or do that. But because they know that I have changed, I'm no longer that person that they knew when I was 19, when I was 25, when I was 35, but I have elevated to a whole nother level. I'm doing some different things now, you know?
And it's important for you to be able to reach back and help others, but when those people start pulling you in their direction, you have to release. You know, you saying, listen, I have an open hand, and if you grab my hand and allow me to pull you toward me, then I'm willing to hold on to your hand. But once I feel you trying to pull me back in your direction, I'm going to release you. And so, you know, that's what we have to be able to do. It's not, you know, as we grow forward and move forward, we want to always extend an open hand to assist other people, but when they grasp our hand, we want to feel them free to come in our direction and not be fighting to pull us in their direction. You know, because one of the common things people say is misery likes company, and sometimes you have to be careful that you don't allow your company pull you into their misery.
You're absolutely right. Misery does love company. Hurting people hurt people. Negativity love negativity. But what you can do as an individual, you can change that around. Someone say something negative, change it around to a positive. I was just sitting downstairs with my mother, and we're in Moreno Valley this weekend, and on TV they were doing, it was a movement going on talking about bullying and how this one girl just went up and hit this other girl. Now, there were people around, so in a situation like that, maybe we need to stand up for one another and not allow these things to happen. You know, maybe we need to stop it and not allow this type of stuff to continue to happen, because it's happening everywhere. You see it on Facebook, it's on the TV. When is it going to stop? What are they going to put in place to stop this? Not trying to get off of the subject, but going over, this is negativity. And why did that girl hit that other girl? It was no reason for her to do that.
And you have to learn to overcome your anger. Because you cannot give me a reason for striking another person because of something they said. Because if they didn't physically strike out at you and you needed to protect yourself, then there was no reason for you to strike out at them. Audrey, how are you doing this evening? I see another member of our Fantastic Four has made it on the air today. How are you doing this evening, Audrey?
Sensational. Thank you.
RJ, we're just talking about our commitment to making life better for ourselves and for others around us, developing a kind of faith that allows us to, you know, put God first, to be first in prayer, first in meditation, and then use our day to overcome any of the evil that might be within us, and how we can make sure that people know that there's a change in us, and that we're not going to go backwards. And we don't mind helping them, but we're not going to allow them to draw us back to things that we've already overcome. Because you can't spend your time overcoming the same things over and over again, then there's no way for you to move forward. What are your thoughts about that, Audrey?
That is a task for us. You're exactly right. Whenever you're in the company of someone, you're going to be influenced. Either you're influencing them or they're influencing you. And it's okay to influence each other, but like you said, to what level do we take that influence? And if we know that it's harmful or it's some things that we have overcome and we're, you know, moving forward, especially if it's in our relationship of serving and representing God, we have to make sure that we can continue to be around them. Really, it just is some choices that we have to make, because in essence, people will always try to help you to remember your past and help you to do some of the things that you used to do together. But sometimes we outgrow people, and we have to move forward, and we have to move on, because if we find ourselves being, you know, starting to drift back, that's not what we're called to do, and it's something that we have to be mindful of, and we have to make that choice, whether that choice is to move forward with that person or situation, or whether or not. But we definitely don't want to go back and keep doing the same thing over again.
Let me ask you this question, because this is real important to me, and I want to make sure that I don't use it or get in the habit of using it. And, you know, when people say, you know, I need you to accept me for who I am. And, you know, there's some things in my life I want people to accept me for. I am terrible at cleaning. I am never going to be a productive house cleaner. And so I don't just do well in that environment. But what I will do is pay someone to keep my environment clean and to keep my environment positive. But when it comes to your attitudes, and people have negative or bad attitudes, and they want people to accept long-term those attitudes without them trying to make adjustments that would make life happier for everybody involved. You know, what are your thoughts about people saying, well, you know, I have a poor disposition when I wake up in the morning. You know, I don't really like people. Are those the kinds of behaviors that we should just accept about an individual without them trying to make a conscious choice to make changes in their lives?
No, I'm hoping that person can say that, but put a comma behind it, saying maybe they could say, you know, I need for you to accept me for who I am, and I struggle with what you just said was, excuse me, that you struggle with, you know, picking up after yourself. But I think you may say, you know, please accept me for who I am. This is one of the challenges that I have, picking up after myself. But what I will do is try my best to pick up, and on those occasions when I don't, please help me to improve. And on the other, and in addition to that, what I will do is go and, you know, have someone to come and help us and clean up, and, you know, every so often and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if a person just say, you know, just accept me who I am, they in reality are not willing, it sounds like, to put forth an effort to do better and to improve if they know that that is something that's important to you. You know, when we talk about being in relationships, and if that's the case, I'm thinking that's what you're referencing. If someone, whether it's just a friendship relationship or something that you're trying to work on seriously, you take the other person's concerns and situation into consideration, and you want to please that person, and you want to, you know, you want to do well. And again, you won't just stop automatically. You're not, to be truthful and honest, you're not going to just stop automatically, just start picking up after yourself if that's a challenge for you. But I would think that you would start seeing an improvement over time, because that would be something that you would really want to work towards improving on, and something that you would do. And I think I caught the end of Kathy's conversation when I joined, and she was just mentioning that, you know, some people that may have known her when she was younger, you know, she's a different person now. She's grown from that level. So some of the things that she may have done in her younger years, if she would have made a statement, just accept me who I am. You know, I like to party. I like to do this and I like to do that. I mean, just extreme. Whereas now she may enjoy, you know, going out on occasion and having a good time, but it's not to that same level. But she would have worked towards that. So, you know, even yourself, if I hear you saying that, you know, you just got to know I'm not one to pick up. Okay, yeah. But each day you're going to do a little better. You're going to pick up, you know. So after a month, you'll be a little better. Even if it's just picking up and putting things in its place, that's better than none. But when a person just say, just accept me for who I am and don't put no comma behind it or nothing like that, then they're not willing to make an adjustment. They're not willing to put forth an effort. And that is a cop-out.
And, you know,
that's unacceptable.
And it's important not only in relationships, but in friendships too. You know, all of us need to have positive friendships. We need people. We need connections. There are times when I have to tell you, I mean, there are times when sometimes I don't even like the night. I don't know what it is, it's become more acute in my old age. But when it gets dark and I know it's going to be time for me to go to sleep, there's sometimes when I get anxious about the dark. And I don't know why it is, but I know that there is a need for me to be connected to people, for me to have people who love me beyond just the norm, to have people that I am valued by. And I could not imagine, sometimes I call myself a hermit, and because, you know, I live an existence where I'm not always out in the street. But though I may be a hermit physically, there are things that I feel comfortable about, the connections I make to people, that I have there's a meaning. My life and my spirit has value to a number of people outside of myself, and that is important to me. So I do consider myself friendly, you know, and I have friends on a lot of different levels. You know, I have friends who are intellectuals. I have friends who are alcoholics. I have friends who are dealing with a lot of personal issues. But I try to be a positive force in all the people's lives that I interact with daily. And I don't try to impose who I am on them, but I'm there to be a positive force in their lives regardless of who they are or where they are. And I always try to speak positive things into their existence. Kathy, what are your thoughts about that? You know, our obligation to meet people where they are and not to impose our judgment on them.
You know what? There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about that. I think it was Paul. And it was talking about him going and eating with the Gentiles, I believe it was. And it's okay to be that person that transitions to where the other people are, as long as you don't transition to what they are. But it's important once you are in that circle around those people that they see, okay, if they are doing that, that you're not doing that. If they are saying that you're not saying that, but you're being the one positive in that particular situation, because what it's going to do is going to make the people think. You know, not saying that, okay, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I can go and I can hang out with you, but I'm not going to do what you do. Now, if you're hanging out in a place where I'm going to be afraid for my life or it's going to be shooting or anything, then I can't come to that place. But if it's in a peaceful place where I can come and just fellowship with you, of course, I will be right there beside you the whole time. I'm not going to drink because you drink. I'm not going to smoke because you smoke. But I am going to be there with you as a friend. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to speak into your life because I, too, once traveled that same road, and there was somebody that spoke into my life.
And, you know, I just believe that, you know, there are things that people need to – they need people outside of themselves who don't – who are not a part of their world to be a part of their existence. You know, God says, I live, you know, I think, you know, again, I'm always trying to battle with what I say because I'm not, you know, I'm a part of the world, but I'm not in the world. Is that how it's said? How is
I'm
it
in the
Kathy?
World, but I'm not of this world.
Right. So I have friends who do marijuana, drink daily, that's not a part of who I am. And I can tell them that I think that's a problem, and I'm going to continue to tell them it's a problem without fail, but I don't have to participate in it because they are participating in it. They realize that it's something that they shouldn't do. But at the same time, when I say that, here I am who needs to stop eating so much. And they could really turn around and say, well, DJ, you ain't the best of health because you eat too much. So how are you going to talk, you know, how are you going to just say on me about my drinking and my smoking when you're doing things that are not in your best interest? You know, so we have to be mindful, you know, that part of, in the scriptures that says, you know, you can't talk about the splinter that's in somebody else's eye when you got a board in your own. Right, Audrey?
Yeah, but you're working on changing your eating habits. So it's a different when you're working on changing something about you. But see, I'm sorry, I know this is Audrey's time, but I need to say this because this has happened to me, how when, you know, you're talking to somebody and then they say something about what they're doing, but they try to justify it by pointing a finger at you about something about you. But no, I'm working on my eating habit. So are you working on trying to stop smoking weed? Are you working on trying to stop cussing? Are you working on you? Because I am working on me, and I know that your health is not going to take that any longer, as I know mine is not going to take me with this weight. So I am working on mine, but I just want you to work on yours too.
Mm-hmm. Audrey, your
excellent
thoughts about that?
Well, I think she said it well. Excellent, well said, because in essence, a lot of people are really good at shifting. And again, I always try to go to the intent. Your intent is to help them, and because you see it, and that's what we are responsible for, trying to help each other. And when they try to flip it back, it's a mechanism that they're trying to use to you know, move away from their ownership or responsibilities. And I agree with Kathy, you know, you're saying, and, you know, diffuse them by saying, you know, you're right. And that's exactly the reason why I'm working on it. And that's why I would like for you to work on it, because whatever my situation is, you know, you're right. That's, and I recognize that's not the best for me. And I'm not saying for you to do whatever I'm suggesting that you do, saying that I'm perfect, because none of us are. All of us have something that we're working on. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with, you know, it's sometimes you have to pull that card away from them so that they won't feel that they, you know, have something over you, and, you know, simply agree. You're exactly right. I realize I need to do this differently and better. And you know what? I'm working on it. And, you know, that's exactly the reason why I'm asking you to work on such and such, because I care about you. But you take it away, you know, there's no nit for nat, and you don't have to feel bad if somebody point out something, because all of us have shortcomings, all of us. And that's what we have to work. And whatever it is that's our particular shortcoming, it may be easy for someone else, but because that's all cross, it's hard for us, and we have to keep working at it over and over and over again and ask the Lord to help us. And it's not easy. So, but a person pointing out something to you, again, they're just taking it away from their own ownership and accountability, really.
You know, we have to be prepared and willing to focus on the things that we need to do to make life better for ourselves in a lot of different areas. You know, that we, every day is an opportunity for us to make adjustments and to see ourselves to a different level. You know I want to become a person who reads more. I want to become more intellectual. I want to become more knowledgeable. And that's going to require that I read more and pay more attention to what's going on around me, so that I can compete in a world that's about knowledge, in a world that is, and where it is important for you to be a participant and to be actively involved in what's going on around you. And the answer can't be, I don't know. You know, we have to be prepared and ready to say what it is needed to be said, so that we have an opinion about what's going on around us, and that we can't just sit back and just go about our day and not entertain what's going on in the world. We can't do that. We have to be Christians. One of the things, you know, I used to hear Christian people say, well, I don't want to get involved in politics because there's too many liars and thieves and robbers. But we have to have people with a believer spirit in the process. We need believers in every facet of the world so that we can impose our will on the world. We shouldn't have the world imposing their will on us without having people who can intervene for us. God is not the only person who intervenes. He created opportunities for people to intervene on his behalf, to be an instrument in his rules, and we have to be prepared to do that. Don't we, Kathy?
Yes, at all times we should be prepared for whatever, because, you know, the Bible says that we plan our way, but God directs it. So, you know, I may plan out my whole week, but the Lord may intervene and have me to do something different. So I have to be ready for if there is a change that's going to happen, I have to accept that change because this is the way that God is directing me. It's so funny because, you know, when you're young and you're really not thinking about everything in life, you go and you do all these different things, you know, and as you get older and wiser, you look back and you be like, wow, thank you, Lord, because it was you that protected me through that thing. It was you that watched over me when I was in that dark place. It was you. So we always have to, as an adult, look at those things and just be thankful because it was God that protected us. As it says in the book of Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And that scripture is just so, so surreal because God knows our every plan. He knew who was going to be on the show tonight. He knew where you were going to be at the Wells Museum. He just knows everything. We don't know our next step, but he knows everything. So it's just awesome, just awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Good God. God is so good. And you're exactly, that's one of my favorite scriptures because of the fact that it is the Lord that's speaking. And he let us know that, like you say, I know, you know, and that's enough right there. I know, as a matter of fact, he said, not only do I know, but the plan happened to be good. And when God says something is good,
yes,
it's not even
yes.
a word in my vocabulary that I can describe the goodness
yes.
and the awesomeness of it. And then
yes.
he goes on to say in that same area that he know, as a matter of fact, that we will cry out to him.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, when we do cry out to him, he will listen.
Pastor,
and so
yes.
that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I was just thinking, you know, it's such an exciting time to be in this space at this particular
yes.
time. And the Lord knows that we could have been born
in
and deceased already,
yes,
or we could
yes.
have been just born. But we're here, and we're here for a purpose. We're here for a season. And everything that's going on is going to be very important that we as Christians are ready to stand in order to help
yes.
people that need to know the Lord, because all this is occurring for a reason, and it's for people to know and glorify God, and we need to be positioned to help them to have the faith, to have the hope, so that they can receive the joy of the Lord. Thank God that he knows the plan, and the plan
yes.
is victory through Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back for our last word and our final word for this evening. So you all get your thoughts together, and right back after this song, we'll be back for our final word.
Down the whole ground.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We are at the end of another show, and we're so thankful. I want you all to know that I'm thankful for this opportunity to reach out and to have people know that we are here for us to have our voices heard and say the kind of things that we know the world needs to hear. And so we're about to end our show again. We'll be back tomorrow on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with a 30-minute show, but we want to let you all know that we are on the air 7 days a week, looking for the opportunity to make sure our voices are heard loud and clear. Audrey, you were the last one in, but we're going to give you the final word first, and then we'll go to Kathy. What is your final word for the day, Audrey?
Thank God for having the knowledge and foresight of having everything in control, and we can look to him to know that through him all things are possible, and that's the victory in knowing Jesus as our Savior. So thank you.
All right, Kathy, what's your final word today?
Actually, I have a couple. The first is that the time your show comes on in California is at 5 o'clock. So there is a difference. Remember, you have to put that in there because you may have callers calling from California. And also,
I think you're right, but Kathy, you need to say, I think it's if it's at 6, it's at 3, isn't it? That you're 3 hours behind us.
Yeah, but when you come on at 8, right? It's 5 o'clock
Saturday.
Here. Yeah.
Right.
It's 5 o'clock
okay,
here.
Okay, when we come on at 6, what time is it there?
It's 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So I'm going to make a habit. I know you, Kathy, you always make me learn things. So I'm going to make a habit of making sure I mention that. We want everybody involved. Okay, go on, Kathy. You said you had another final word as well.
The lady that you had on yesterday, I didn't get the name. I do want to order her CD. So if you can send me that information later so I can order the CD for her. And the last thing is you called us the Fantastic Four. So you need to get us some shirts that say Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the Fantastic Four. And that's it. Have a good day.
Whoop, whoop.
Well, hey, again, I'll make sure I follow those instructions, and I'll make sure I get that done. And you're right. Kathy always giving me work to do, boy. She never stops. And I never want you to stop, Kathy. So here we are at the end of another show, and I want to thank all of you for participating, and I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow at 6 p.m., Eastern Time, and 3 p.m. West Coast Time. Take care, everybody. I love you. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.